We began a new sermon series last week on the 23rd Psalm, and so we will begin our reading. We will do it together. The version we are reading is from the King James Version, which has got some beautiful lyrical kind of language. It is John's hope that if we do this every week, that we will commit parts of this beautiful psalm to memory. Together now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn our attention to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, which is the Sermon on the Mount, and this sort of picks up about halfway through the sermon, and Jesus talks about worry, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of the Lord. Hymnals were flying from one side of the sanctuary and into the center aisle. Bibles were flying from the other side into the center of the aisle. People in the front of the sanctuary were running out. Not the typical end to an annual congregational meeting. But this actually took place at one of the Presbyterian churches here in our presbytery. And it was intentional. It wasn't people were upset after the end of the meeting. It was an active shooter drill. That the session had decided that the church better get ready in case someone came in the church with a weapon. Now, that may surprise some of you, but what's interesting is that ever since the shootings in the church in Charleston and Sand Springs, there has been this growing chorus where churches needed to be ready. We needed to protect ourselves. There's one church in Georgia, the way they've done it is that they have gotten their own internal police department that you never know who's there, but there are people with concealed handgun permits all around the sanctuary in case something happens. In another church in this presbytery, they lock the doors as soon as the service begins. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands how many of you wouldn't be able to get in. Which I often think of because we're Presbyterians and we're a five after church people. And thanks to Carl and Jim, we've had conversations with the Birmingham Police Department about, well, what could we do? What are the possibilities? What things ought we to be thinking about to make ourselves safer here? And yet I have to say that there's just something about this that bothers me. And it can be summed up in two statistics. The first is, what are the odds of being struck by lightning? Anyone know? It's roughly 1 in 700,000. Okay? 1 in 700,000. What are the odds of being shot in a church? 1 in 6.5 million. In other words, you are 10 times more likely to get hit by lightning than you are to get hit by a bullet in a church service. So why are we so anxious? I think because we're an anxious people living in an anxious society. And if there's anyone who would understand this, it's sheep. Because I think that if sheep could talk, they'd go, "Bro, I feel ya." And by the way, that is how sheep talk, if you're not. Now see, you may have been like me. Growing up, I lived in a sheep-free neighborhood. And so I was never around sheep, and I always assumed that sheep were these sort of calm, cool, collected animals, kind of hanging out, chilling with the shepherd on the hillside. In fact, in our house, we have this wonderful painting from the hill country of Texas, and it has blue bonnets, and there are these sheep just kind of there, and there's this sense that nothing bothers them, except sheep are incredibly nervous and anxious animals. And if you want to know why, just look at them. They can't run fast. They have those short little legs, and they can't go anywhere in a great hurry, and any predator is going to be faster than they are. They don't have sharp, pointy teeth. They don't have claws on the end of their hooves. They have no way to defend themselves. They are utterly and completely vulnerable. They are a meal just waiting for a predator to show up. And so evidently sheep are spooked by the least little thing. The rustling of the grass over here, maybe that's a predator waiting to get them. A loud noise, maybe that's another predator coming in to get them. Fast flowing water and all the noise it makes, if you think of water going over the rapids or in a stream that's flooding, that makes them nervous. And the remarkable thing about this is that sheep are so anxious that they won't lie down. Maybe you see where I'm going. They are so anxious, they are so afraid, that seldom, if ever, will they lie down because it makes them vulnerable. And what this means is that the shepherd's role is essential Now, the shepherd does lots of things. A shepherd leads them to those green pastures from a place that's barren so they don't overgraze to a place where there's food. The shepherd will lead them away from rapidly flowing water to a pool of water or a well where they can drink safely. The shepherd will shear them when it comes time. But in some ways, the shepherd's most important role is that of creating a safe space for the sheep. The shepherd's role is creating this sense of safety so that the sheep can lie down in green pastures. This sense of safety that comes by moving to still waters and slaking their thirst. This safe space where they can have, if you will, their souls restored. And this is the image that the psalmist is drawing upon. This is the things about sheep that most of us probably might not know. But that people living in a pastoral society, this would all be a vivid image for them. That the great shepherd, the God of the universe, the God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it is this God who is the one who creates safe spaces for God's people in the midst of predators. This psalm clearly understands that all around the psalmist, there are predators out there just waiting to come after him or her. But it is somehow in the midst of all of that danger, the God of Israel creates this space, this moment, where the people can find a safe space to lie down, to be fed, to take a deep breath, to have their souls restored. And I would argue that this is the image that Jesus is drawing upon when he tells people, don't worry, don't be anxious. He's not telling them that, you know, to think positively, that the power of positive thinking will keep them safe. He's not pretending that there aren't predators around. Later in the gospel, he will say, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Jesus understands that life in the first century can be short and brutal. Infant mortality is extraordinarily high. Disease, you have no medicines. The Romans are there with their oppressive taxes that strip people of their property and their lands and their ability to earn a living. There are armies just on the other side of the Judean hills that are opposed to the Romans, and you never know when war is going to break out. Drought, famine. I mean, life is hard and uncertain, and yet what Jesus says is, do not worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. For God knows what you need. And it's based in this sense that God is the great shepherd of the sheep who creates these places of safety in which God's people can take a deep breath, where they can restore their souls, where they can be fed by an incredibly loving and compassionate and faithful God. My friends, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can choose to be people who come into the sanctuary and put our hands on the hymnals and start looking at the back door and the front door and waiting for someone to come bursting in so we can pick up those hymnals and throw them, and the people on the opposite end can get up and run out. Or we can see this place for what it is. Have you ever thought about what we call this place? This is not an auditorium. It's not a meeting house. It's a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary. It doesn't mean that there aren't bad people out there. It doesn't mean that one day something bad could happen. But what it means is that God is here in this place, making for us a safe space. A safe space in which everyone is welcome. A safe space in which all of us are loved. A safe space in which we can confess our sins and find forgiveness. A safe space in which we can come to the table and be fed and have our thirst for grace slaked by God. So, which is it going to be? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep on me. And I want you to breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Sense God's presence. Sense God's presence here in this sanctuary. Sense God's presence in you. Sense your soul being restored. Sense the anxiety draining away. Draining away. As the Spirit of God in Christ envelops you, fills you in this moment. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the safe spaces that you create for us. The safe spaces where we know we are welcomed, loved, forgiven, and fed. Help us to take these safe spaces with us, that every place might be one where we can leave our anxiousness behind. We pray this in Christ's name.